Good morning. Great to see all of you again. It seems like I've been just visiting here lately. I think I've been gone, five out of the last six or seven Sabbaths, so we haven't been around as much. Been out seeing family, our son and his wife, and their children. Just moved into a different house, so we went out last week to give them a hand. Always something going on. And you know what? It's that time of year. Mr. Smith was telling you, he kind of gave you a little bit of a warning as to what I don't know if warning is the right word, but a little bit of a precursor as to what I was going to say today, what I was going to speak on. Because it is getting that time. It is getting close to Passover. It is coming in just a few weeks, the end of March. It won't be that long. So it's that time of year where we start looking at things. We start preparing for things. We start to understand that, you know, maybe there's things we still need to change, things we still haven't got right in our lives, things we still have to overcome. Let's start today with 1 Corinthians 11. And I want to go there to start because this is something that we read every Passover. But this is something that a part of this always affects me because I always feel like I've come up short. Let's start in verse 24. We see here it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We know this is Christ speaking to them. We know this is at the Passover service, that he's commanding them to do this in remembrance. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Again, brethren, every year we partake of the Passover service to do this, to remember what God and what Christ has set for us. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Remembrance. We do this every year to remember. To remember what God wants to see in us. And to remember what God has done for us. But the verses that I want to focus on more today are the next three. Beginning in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And brethren, that is the focus of my message today, that we understand the importance that we are taking the time to examine ourselves, not with rose-colored glasses, but to look at ourselves honestly and to understand that we do all have faults and mistakes and sins and things that we must overcome. And we do that by self-examination, honestly looking at our sins for what they are. Because there is going to come a time when we will be judged. And we will have corrective discipline if we have not changed the things we need to change. So when we come to the Passover service to partake of these commanded symbols, are we able to do it knowing we have come in here with a clean conscience, that we have forgiven, those that have trespassed against us, those that we feel have hurt us in some way, that have said something negative about us, someone that has, I don't know, maybe they've done something that in your mind you just can't forgive it. But it's something we have to forgive. God commands that we are able to forgive, that we are able to look at this and see we have to put this out. We can't have resentment. We can't continue to hold a grudge. We can't be looking for revenge. because of something someone has done to us. We have to be willing to say, I can forgive. Because we have to do this, brethren, before we come to Passover. It's part of examining ourselves that we are taking this in a worthy manner. And as I've said, these verses every year seem to cut right through me, because I realize how important this is, that we're not just saying the words. We're not just reading them and then throwing them to the side. We're actually living and understanding what we have to change. It's personal for each of us that we look inside and see where we have to change, that we can learn to forgive. If we don't, it can lead to an atmosphere that has lifelong consequences. I want to tell you a true story, a story about a man who had twin sons. And the man owned a shop. He owned a store. And as time went on, the man passed away and left the sons to take care of the store. And one day, one of the sons was outside helping a customer in the front of the store, and he'd left a dollar bill on the cash register when he went out. And when he came back in, he didn't see the dollar. And he asked his brother, what'd you do with the dollar? He said, well, I didn't do anything with it. Well, what do you mean you didn't do anything with it? It was here when I walked out. Why isn't the dollar there now? Where did it go? Well, I don't know. I didn't touch it. And resentment began to build, because he didn't believe him. There was no one else in the store. It was just the two of them. Look, if I don't have it and you were the only one in the store, okay, you have to have it. Just admit it. But he didn't. And it went on. And it got worse. And the resentment got deeper. And the grudge got deeper. And pretty soon the two brothers couldn't even work together. And they built a wall down the middle of the store. One stayed on one side and one on the other. And the resentment continued. And it affected their families. It affected the community. Because people would go into the store and might want something from one side, but maybe it was on the other side. And it just caused this huge division. And the brothers, they stopped talking to each other altogether. And after 20 years or so, one day a car pulled up in front of the store. And a man walked in and he walked up to the first brother and he said, I have to tell you something. 20 years ago, I was in this store. I came in. I had been riding the rails. I was poor. I had no food. I had eaten in days. And I walked in the back door of the store, and there was no one around, and there was a dollar bill laying on the cash register, and I took it. And he said, and it's affected me my whole life. And I've come in here to ask for your forgiveness. And the son, the one brother, looked at him and he said, would you go next door and tell the same story to the other brother? And he went next door and he told him. And then the two brothers were out front embracing each other for the first time in years. And the man couldn't understand. All he did was take a dollar, yet these men, these middle-aged men, are standing in front of the store, wrapped in each other's arms, sobbing and realizing all of this over a dollar that neither one of them took. Brethren, we have to watch what we do. We can't allow little things to upset us to a point where we have our feelings hurt. We hold on to it. It becomes stronger and stronger until one point the resentment turns into a grudge, and then we look for revenge and we can't find in our hearts to forgive. God expects us to forgive. He demands it of us. We have to learn to forgive. If we don't, it can lead us to a path that will find us alone and not only separated from God's people, but separated from God himself. It's very important that we are able to examine honestly where we stand on things, that we can truly say to God that we are sorry and that we can forgive others, so we are worthy when it comes time to partake of that Passover. You know, according to the latest medical and psychological research, forgiving others, it's not only good for the mind, it's good for our bodies. They have found that people who forgive benefit from better immune functioning, and they have lower blood pressure. They have better mental health. They feel better physically. They have fewer episodes of anger and symptoms of anxiety and depression. And they maintain more satisfying and longer lasting relationships. So you see, brethren, there are so many positives to us learning to forgive. But how can you forgive if you don't honestly admit that you have to? If you haven't looked within yourself and say, yep, I have been holding this grudge, this thing has been eating away at me, I've been holding on to it, and I haven't taken it and got rid of it. It might be something that happened a day ago. It might be something that happened 20 years ago. If it's still there and you're still every now and then, it makes you angry and it festers and you continue to think about it and continue to hold on to it, it's not God's way. It's not what God expects of us. That's not how we examine ourselves and honestly say before God at Passover, I am taking this worthy. It's something we have to change. If we can't forgive one another and instead we are sitting around trying to exact revenge on one another, how are we ever going to learn to live like Christ? Let's turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. We need to follow an example that Christ gave us here. I mean, come on, brethren. We've all had times that we've had trials. We've had things that have happened to us. We have been in a situation where we have felt that I can justify this. I am justified to be this angry. I am justified to hold this grudge. They did it to me, and I'm going to be angry about it, and I'm not going to forgive them. I know we've all been there. But what happened to Christ? What did Christ do? Luke 23, verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Christ is about to be crucified to go through the pain and the suffering of that crucifixion. And yet in his heart was not anger, was not revenge. In his heart was forgiveness. That's what God wants to see in our hearts. He wants to see. Is it really important for us, brethren? Do we understand how important it is for us to forgive one another? Let's turn back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God has shown us that we must forgive others if we want to be forgiven by Him. God wants to see our heart. We know this when we read it in God's own words. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel 16. Mark talked about that a little bit this morning, about our heart, how important it is that we are doing things because it's in our heart. It's not just a thought. It's not just a minor action. It is something we truly believe in. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God looks at our heart to see that we have changed, that we have addressed our sins, that we have examined ourselves, that we see that there is a purpose and a reason for us to become different, for us to change, for us to want to become more like Christ. We examine ourselves. We look and learn to look at our family, our brothers and our sisters, and have the love of God one to another. We have to do this, brethren, or we will be caught up in the character of this world. It is so prevalent around us and so easy to just slide right into those attitudes. But we know, brethren, as it says in verse 27. Oh, never mind. That was before. So, going on in 1 Samuel, God wants to see our heart. God wants to know that in our heart we want to change. Let's look at another scripture on the same path. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Before I read this, though, there is one thing I did want to back up on. I didn't read it in my note. I didn't write it in my notes, but I knew what I wanted. And it was verse 27 of Ephesians 4. And that is where God instructs us that if we are not careful, Satan will come in and he will try and tear us apart. We have to be careful not to allow that. Going on, Colossians 3 and verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever we do, brethren, whatever our hands find to do, is it of God? Have we looked at ourselves honestly and seen where we need to change, where we have sinned, where we have made mistakes? Do we look at it honestly, and are we able that whatever we do, we are willing and wanting to change? We examine ourselves to see if our hearts and minds are dedicated to fulfilling our purpose, and if we are putting away sin, growing in knowledge, becoming more Christ-like in our understanding of the law and how we treat others. Forgiveness, brethren, is an action. It takes effort on our part to be a peacemaker and to help our brother. It doesn't just, you know, just out of the blue, it's there. We have to do something. To forgive someone, we have to do it. It is an action. We know that in Matthew 18. Everybody knows Matthew 18. Matthew 18 and verse 15. I'm just going to read the one verse. Matthew 18, verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." Brethren, if we are to forgive one another, we have to be willing to do this. We have to be willing to go to our brother and say, "I've made a mistake," or "I've seen something in you that I want to address because you're my brother. I want to help you." God helps us every day. He shows us his love and his mercy in everything he does for us. Why can't we do the same for our brother? Why shouldn't we? There's no reason. Except we have that carnal side of us that doesn't want to, but we have to find a way. We have to find a way to change. Being able to go to one another when you feel you have been wronged or hurt is the first step towards forgiveness and reconciliation. It is an act of love and mercy that you want to help others. As Mark was saying, it's not about us. It's not about what somebody can do for me. It's about what I can do for others. And we show that when we're willing to go to our brother and ask for their forgiveness, and also to ask or talk to them about something that they've done that you feel against you. Let's turn to James 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. It's important, brethren, that we understand the love and mercy that we need to have towards one another. God instructs us here in verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We must forgive one another, brethren, in love and mercy. When we show love to our brother, when we do this, we are fulfilling the law of God and can escape judgment. If we show no love or mercy, we know that we will be judged by Christ. Mercy triumphs over judgment, and God tells us that Jesus Christ will judge. Let's turn to Acts 10 and verse 42. Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he, Christ, who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. God tells us Christ will be the judge. Not only is the one that was sacrificed for us, but he is also the one that will judge us. Now, I know you might stop and think, but wait a minute. It says in the Old Testament that God will judge. I mean, there are several scriptures that say that, right? So is it God or is it Christ? But you have to remember that Christ is the God of the Old Testament. So it is still talking about Christ, that Christ will judge. Christ will judge us. One scripture after another reiterates this. We can turn to John 5 and see it again. John 5, 22. John chapter 5 and verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. We must constantly, brethren, examine ourselves to see if we are following the will of God. We will be judged by our actions. Are we worthy of becoming future sons to reign with Christ when he returns? How can we be if we can't learn to forgive one another? Let's turn to 1 John 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John 4 verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Brethren, we must have love if God is to abide in us. Let's go down just a couple of verses to verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And on a couple more verses, chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So all these things keep pointing us back, brethren, to the same conclusion. If we are truly examining ourselves and striving to live as God has directed us, with love for our brother, then we have to learn to forgive. If we don't, then we show God we don't love him either. God tells us clearly, you cannot say I love my brother and hate him and still say you love God. It doesn't work that way. How can we love a God who we can't see if we can't love our brother whom we do see? Forgiveness is not something we do for others. It is something we do for ourselves. If we can't forgive others or only forgive on a conditional basis, oh, that conditional thing. You remember what that is, right? That's where you say, well, I'll forgive him if he comes to me and says, well, you know, I didn't this or I didn't that. See, God doesn't, thankfully, God doesn't forgive us on conditions. God expects us to keep his commandments. God expects us to turn from sin. But we have to learn. We have to learn to forgive others so we can slowly overcome. Otherwise, we will build up a bitterness that can become anger and then become sin. Back a few pages, Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. We read verse 25 before. I want to reread just starting in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, how do we put off the old man? What is that? What does that mean, brethren? What is that old man that God is talking about here? That's that self, that old way of life, that way of sin and things that we have done in the past that we are to be coming out of. We put it away. We change. That's what it means when we go through conversion. We're changing. We're changing to become more like God. How do we do that if we're not putting away those sins? If we're continuing to live in the grief and the anger and the hostility towards someone because we can't forgive them? How are we changing and overcoming sin if we can't forgive? If we can't put those things aside? It is so important, brethren, we learn forgiveness. It's important for us to hold on to the good things that happen to us. Even though sometimes it just seems impossible to forget the bad. But we have to. Don't be negative. As Mark was saying, we have to stay positive. Remember the good things that have happened to us. Forget the bad. Another example of that. How we can forget the bad. These two friends walking along the beach. And they were good friends. And as they walked along, they got into a little of an argument. And the argument became heated. And it became so intense that one of the friends slapped the other one. And then he realized what he'd done. And he stopped. And the other one stopped and he wrote in the sand, "Today my best friend slapped me." And nothing else was said and they went on. And as they walked on along the beach, they came to a cliff and they walked up it. And as they're walking up it, the friend almost, he stumbled. And as he started to fall, the other friend reached out and grabbed him and pulled him back. And the friend wrote on the rock, "Today my best friend saved my life." Well, the first friend looked at him and he said, I don't understand. He said, "The first time when we stopped, you wrote in the sand. And this time you wrote on the rock." And he said, "Well," he said, "when someone hurts you, you should write it down in sand. Because the wind and time will blow it away and the hurt will go away and you'll forget it. But when someone is there to help you, you write it on the stone. You carve it in the stone. So the winds and time cannot change it. So you don't forget. You remember those things. You build on those things. They become important in your life. And they become a way of life that you begin to follow." And that's what we have to do, brethren. When someone does something good for you, engrave it in your mind. Remember it always. Remember those things so you can forget the little hurts. The times you felt you were wronged. Somebody said something, hurt your feelings, whatever it might be. We have to learn to forget those things, or we'll never learn to forgive. We must learn to forgive instead of holding on to anger and grudges. Hold on to the good things that are done for us. If we can learn to forgive, then we can move on to the next step, which is to reconcile. Now, the thing about reconcile is that God wants us to. He really does. There's no way God could say, "I want you to reconcile," or not reconcile, excuse me, and still say, "I want you to love everyone." But sometimes God understands it's hard to reconcile. God understands that. We all go through those moments where we have forgiven. We don't hate. We've got past that. But maybe it was something and you just can't be best friends again, or whatever it might have been. You can forgive and you can forget, but the relationship changes. And it's hard in life to not have those situations happen. It's very hard that we know that love should cover all the wrongs. We know that God's Holy Spirit outpoured through us should be able to correct all those things. But we're all imperfect still. We all still have things we need to change. We all still have things we need to overcome. Ways that we need to change in our life that affect us on a daily basis. We need God's Holy Spirit to continue to strengthen us. We get that because we are showing God we are continuing to change, and God outpours more to us because he sees we want to become more like him. We become more Christians, followers of Christ, in everything we say and do. And God sees that, and he knows that, and he wants to see that in each of us. Luke 1:37 tells us, "With God, all things are possible." All things, not only a few. God didn't say, "Well, once in a while, something might be possible." He says all things are possible through God. So we can learn to forgive. We can learn to love our brother. We can change. In conclusion, let's turn back to where we started, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. I'm going to read a little farther this time. Verse 27, "Therefore, Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, many have died. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So as we continue, brethren, to prepare for the Passover, let us each truthfully, honestly, with no rose-colored glasses, examine ourselves. Are we keeping the laws and commandments? Are we learning to forgive our brother? And are we truly understanding the love that God shows to each of us so we can show that same love one to another?